You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Tzaditet, and we are holding still smack bang in the middle of the sugya. We're trying to understand how it is that Bar Kapora could have been quoted as holding that the makor of the din of Shishim or of Me'ah, depending on the two approaches, whether we include the relationship of the bones of the Zeruah to the animal or only the meat of the Zeruah to the meat of the animal. But how in the world can we use the Zeruah B'Sheila as the model for Bittul, where it says Beferush in the Braita that that is a unique case, the only case where Zehu et Rabo Michlal Isur, which seems to imply that no other case can be compared to it. So yesterday Abaye said that that was only a reference to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Min Bemino is not Batal, and over here Min Bemino is Batal. And so, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, this is a unique case. But overall, the very fact that the Torah would be Bekel over here is a reason for us to say that even where we're going to be most machmir on the case that we have, where we're going to be mavato, a taste, most machmir we should be would be the way the Torah is machmir here, which is either shishim or miyah, the way that we will analyze the relationship of the Zeruah to the rest of the El Nazir.
Can you assume that the forearm is less than 1/60th of the entire meat?
Meat, yes, right. Because there's not much meat on it.
And the bulk of the meat, it's 60 to 1. It's 2%,
less than 2%. Right, even, it's, no, 100 to 1, 60 to 1. Yeah, but remember, it's on. I mean, the arm itself is all bone. We're talking about only that the shoulder. We're talking about the shoulder steak. Shoulder steak is tiny. Tiny. 60, or with the meat alone, it's a 1%. Yeah, if you use the hind quarters. Sure. I mean, we don't use the hind quarters. Okay, but in any event, we explained away the Zehu yesterday by saying that it's Zehu, only Ali, but Rabbi Yehuda would hold it Min B'Mino Lo Batel. Today, Rav has a different idea. This is one line up from the bottom of Tzadik Chet Amud Beit. Rav Amar, that's not what the Zehu is referring to. Zehu is referring to the issue of Tam Ki Ikar. Now, normally, by Kochim, Tam Ki Ikar would be Asur. We're going to see where we learn it out of. But Tam Ki Ikar by Kochim is usually Asur, meaning that where you have the taste of a thing, it's as if the thing is actually present. And therefore, it really shouldn't be Batal. The Torah over here, because it's talking about Kochim over here, it's talking about this Zeruah B'Sheila. So any case where Kochim gets mixed, let's say that you have Notar or Pigel, and that gets mixed into other meat, then we would say, look, we can't be mavatala just because of the taste. It's as if the actual thing is present, and as long the whole thing should be us.
Just because taste is the meat. What is taste? It means there's molecules there. Why is there taste and it's not
taste? Remember, la halacha, molecules are meaningless. Nobody sees molecules, so taste is considered to be normally a non-substantial thing, halachically speaking. If you say tam ki ikar, that means that the substantiality of the meat that I'm eating, which tastes like that, is eating that. But that's only true by kachin. At least according to Rav.
I'm now tasting the noser in this meat. The meat takes...
So the meat now has that noser. This is a whole shaila now. We'll see later on about whether that means that it becomes the shear of the noser. So then, chaticha nasid nevela or not? What is the relationship between chaticha nasid nevela and tam ke ikar? These are immense, immense issues. Another immense issue is whether tam ke'ikar really means a weak taste of like 1 in 60 that we're talking about over here, or whether tam ke'ikar is dafka where you have a taste which is more like a kezayis v'chteyaki less paras that is melted in here. And so you have some fats. Now Rashi understands that the sugya is talking about over here, tam ke'ikar, despite the fact that it's a very weak taste. Because we're getting close to a bitul pavecha b'shishim, right? Nonetheless, if you hold tam ki ikar, which we learn out by klatshim, then it should be asur. Whereas by chulin, even though there is a bandi omer that learns out that the same exact thing is true by chulin, and where would we know that from, gentlemen? The Torah says that a nazir not only cannot eat grapes, wine, but mishrat anavim. He cannot eat bread dipped in grapes, in grape juice or in wine. Which, according to one man, the Omar, means that the taste of the grape, despite the fact we do not see any mamashut, it's all dried out, but I taste the grape in it, is still asur. That's how Rashi understands it. Rava, he says, disagrees with that man, the Omar. And he says that the din of Mishrat Anavim comes to tell me something else, which is yet another concept. And it's important to retain these concepts because they're going to become increasingly important as we go through the sugya of Ta'arovet. The other concept is the question of whether Heter is Mitztaref L'Isur. Sometimes the din is that if you have Isur that is there, then even though you don't have a kezias of the iser, but if you mix that iser together with heter that has that taste, such as a dipped piece of bread, then you can be mitzaref the shear of the heter to the shear of the iser. Again,
does that have to be min b'mino?
No, min b'sheino mino. We're talking over here where the taste is nicker. Again, we're going to see all of that as we go along, but that means that some of the issues we've discussed so far, the difference between min b'mino, min b'she'eino mino, we've spoken about tam ke'ikar, we've spoken about chatichah na'asit nevela, we've spoken about heter mitztaref le'isur, and we've not come up with definitions for any of these things. We've also discussed so far today Rashi Shita of even a tam kalush being included in the question of tam ke'ikar. And Tosfos disagrees vehemently with Rashi and says that our sugya has nothing to do with the question of tam ke'ikar, and the way Rashi is learning it in a case where it would just be a weak taste, because weak taste is not what tam ke'ikar is about. Tam ke'ikar is only where we have a tam b'chamur, not something that's 1 in 30 or 1 in 60 or 1 in 100. That has nothing to do with tam ke'ikar. And the only reason over here we raise the question of tam ke'ikar by klatshim is because since the Torah is matir the zra b'sheila under any and all circumstances, it doesn't tell you how exactly you have to cook it. So what if you put the animal into the water and the zra is outside of the water? I mean, or gets outside of the water. I mean, the Torah doesn't care. It says it's okay. Even though there would be cases under those circumstances where there really would be areas that would be usher mamash, if you say tam ke'ikar, the Torah didn't care. So then that means that this, in this case, is a unique example. Zehu, this is one case. Doesn't mean every case of Zohar B'Sheila is an example of a violation of the principle of tam ke'ikar, despite the fact that there may be derabbanan on tam ke'ikar, which extends beyond. We're talking about over here the D'oraita. So the norm isn't that the Zohar B'Sheila is going to be a problem of tam ke'ikar. It's just that the sugya is saying, Rav is saying, look, the fact is that the din that the Torah has given us over here to be matir Zohar B'Sheila under any and all circumstances is certainly indicative of this being a unique situation. And that's only by Kachem. We'll see in a moment why Kachem is different. Indeed, asks the Gemara, so then, if the kachim, you're telling me, normally kachim is us, and we're saying, zehu, this is a unique case, that tohacha shori. So and why don't we make this the model? I mean, where do you get the idea that it should be us? The one case that we know about, the Torah says is mutter. Ah, no, you see, because Goli Rachmana Gabi Chatas, remember that we have this very important halacha which says, Kol Asher Yigabiv Sarah Yigdash. Anything that touches the chatat, meat, becomes holy, meaning that it gets the dinim of the chatat. Okay, so therefore, what does it mean? Yigdash liyot kamoha. We understand that to mean that, let's say, this meat was notar. So if it was notar, if it's psula, it was pigul, whatever, tipasa, whatever came in contact with it and absorbed any of its taste, would become also pasul. If the chatas was kosher, then teachel kechamur shaba. If this chatat, let's say, touched a shlamim, then now the shlamim is only kosher to be eaten till the end of the day, till the morning, like the chatas is. The other girsa is teachel kechamur shaba hen, because sometimes the shlamim can be more chamur than the chatas. Because let's say the shlamim on the second day can only be eaten until the evening, because it's eaten for 2 days with the night in between. But the chatas would have been, if it hadn't touched the shlamim, would have been kosher eat until the morning. Now it's not. Okay, but in any event, does that tell you very clearly that a contact, two pieces of meat, will aser, even though obviously it's only tam? So you see over there that tam ke'ikr is a given when it comes to kosher. Okay, says the Gemara, fine, you do, but you see from the cases of Rabbi Shela, the tam kicker is not a given. I understand, how do you know which one to make the model? So, why not say, chatas is a unique situation, and Zroa B'Shela B'Nayel is the standard situation? I don't understand how you make up your mind which one to use as a model, and which one to use as the exception to the rule. So then, my chazita, the gamrina mihech, why learn it out of chatat and say that the zroa b'sheila is the exception to the rule? Ligamar mihech, learn it out of the zroa b'sheila and say that the chatas is an exception to the rule. And just as we said yesterday, the din of zroa b'sheila anyway is completely off the wall in terms of the standards in the Torah. Where the Torah doesn't tell you to do something which normally could lead you into Isser, but it's okay because it's going to be bottle. You don't start that way. So therefore, since it's telling you to do it l'chatchila, it's a chiddush, and therefore we can't use it as the model. Michiddush lo gamrina. Well, I don't get it. So the same question we asked yesterday. If we can't use it as a model, how can we use it as a model for bitul b'meya or bitul b'shishim? Yachil l'meya v'shishim nami lo ligmar. Let's not use it for that either. And just as we answered yesterday, we're not using it as a model to teach a kula that you can be mavatal isser and shishim. We're using it l'chumra, for God's sake, because midioraita. Let's say we wouldn't have used it for anything, right? What would we have said? Midioraita, batal beruv. Okay, so now we're saying, well, but we find that even in cases where the Torah wants to be very makel when it comes to taste, Zroa B'Sheila, very makel, a unique situation of a Chiddush, I want to give you maximum kula, but the maximum kula only extends to Echa B'Shishim. So therefore, we're using it as a chumrah. That for sure we can take from the model. So that even though we would be makel to say it's Batal Barov, we're going to be machmer like the Zroa B'Sheila. If we would learn out some kind of kula from Zorbashi, you'd be right. How can you learn out a kula? It's a unique kula that the Torah gave us to be able to do something with Chatzchila. Same answer we said yesterday. That was answer number two, referring to Zehu. Why doesn't Zehu mean don't use this as an example? So again, Zehu could mean Alib Rabbi Yehuda. Zehu, a case of Min Bemino, that's Pato. Zehu, according to Rava, means Zehu, a case of Tam Ke'ikr. That in kosher, that nonetheless is batal. And Ravina has a third explanation. Zehu refers to where you cut it. The mokum chatach. But normally, if you have a situation like we had before, Dale Trafus, you have, let's say, a pregnant animal where the fetus sticks out an arm before being born, and then we check the mother. So the din is the arm is treifa. The rest of the fetus is kosher. It's a ben bakua. What about the place where the arm was connected? Where are we going to slice it? So obviously, that area is cut off. That's the makom chatach. There's no sharp delineation. When it comes to the zroah v'sheila, the Torah calls for no additional meat issue. Gives the zroah to the kohen, you eat the rest. As if there's a sharp delineation, despite the fact that that area normally rose machmer on kilek klipa. You have to cut off the area that was dabuk. No, there's no problem. That is what we're saying is unique. But that has nothing to do with the overall question of whether the shear can be a model. So the year we're saying the makom chatach, normally it's us. And over here it's mutter. That's the point. The Tosis points out that when we say it's unique, we don't mean literally unique, because, I mean, the same thing l'chor is true of a chas of a shok. Torah didn't give any specific, you know, plus a klipa. That is like the zroah b'sheila of the ayah. But what it means is, where there are problem issues, like treifas, where I'm not defining that this is the heter and this is the iser. There's a general iser that got involved over here, treifa. Over there, we wouldn't allow the makom chatach to be a clearly delineated slice.
What's the size of makom chatach?
A kedei klipa, which is, we'll see later on, the thickness of a thumb. Good. Yotiv Rav Dimi. So now, Rav Dimi came along, and he was saying over, Lahashmaitata, he was saying over this whole mimer of originally, where Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak quoted the Bar Kapora, and that Bar Kapora had learned that from Zohar B'Sheva, the Shir of Mea, and that all is sort of Batal B'Mea, and he's saying it in front of Abai, and Abai hears this. He says, it's ridiculous. I'm like, Abai, how do you say something? It's against the Mishnah. V'choli sirin shabat Torah b'meya. What you're claiming that generally sirin are b'meya. V'atnan, don't we have a Mishnah in Orla? And this is where we delineate the different shiurim, because we're more machmir by Orla v'kelayim. You need 1 in 200. By truma chulin into truma, you need 1 in 100, which is the shear basically of the truma that you make. In Trumat Maaser, the Maaser is 1/10. Take 1/10, the 1/10 is 1/100. So we're machmer to need that much in the bittul as well. But the Mishnah says over there that there's special things that are usher no matter what. So let's say if something is a mechametz, or if something is a mitabel. So this is an agent. It's an agent that catalyzes a reaction. So it's a leavening agent. So it's a mechametz. Or it's a taste agent, where a tiny bit, like we said yesterday, you could have pupillin. I mean, you could have a tiny bit giving a taste into a gigantic mixture. That's called a mitabel. Or a case of mixing chulin v'truma, where we're going to be machmir, where it's midamea, that has cases where it's l'chumra and cases where it's both l'chumra and l'kula, which I'm going to explain to you, says the Mishnah. So, lima amru, in terms of what did we say? That anything that's b'chametz, b'tamel, or b'damea is l'achmer. Oh, that's a reference to min v'mino. We're going to explain this in a moment. In what sense did we say that it can be both l'akel and l'achmer? That's in cases where it's min v'she'en o'mino. Now, this is very opaque. Comes along now. The Mishnah to explain itself. Katani Seifa. When we said lahakel ulahachmir in cases of min b'she'en omino, Richie, this requires true concentration. This is an extremely intense and concentrated parak, so got to give it your all over here. So where do we have a case of min b'she'en omino, which could be lahachmir ulahakel? Well, let's say that we have grisin. Grisin are what we call whole today.
Beans.
Well, those big beans. Shinid bashuim ha'adashim. Now, those have two different tastes. And I cook them together with adashim. Now, the grisim, the whole, was truma. The adashim were chulin. So this would be a case of midamea, correct? We said midamea, we're going to be lahachmer and lahakel in min b'she'en omino. explains the Mishnah, what do I mean by lahakel v'lahachmer? Well, im yesh b'em benotein tam, if you could taste it, so then, man, I don't care. Ben yesh b'em lahalot b'me avechad, ben ein b'em lahalot b'me avechad asur. Then, if you could still taste it, I don't give a hang how much you got against it. As long as you can taste it, it's not going to be but. Ein b'em benotein tam. Since, however, we're talking about min b'she'eino mino, and min b'she'eino mino is detectable. So if there is no nitina tam, then I don't care whether it has 100 to 1 or not. Ben she'esh b'em lalot b'mei avechad, ben ein b'em lalot b'mei avechad. The important thing is that it's mut. Because I don't taste anything. Oh, now this is the big issue. Okay, now here, remember I promised you yesterday that we're going to get to the place where Rashi proves his contention that tam is only what is the lesser of the two, and then it won't be mekel. Meaning, when we said shishim, we mean shishim when there is no taste. But if there is taste, then even if there's more than shishim. But you can never get away with less than shishim. That's how he understood the shishim or the mea that we spoke about yesterday. And he says, you see, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. If there is no tam, says the Gemara, it's mutter. But in how much is it mutter? Ein ben lalot b'mei avechad, ela b'maitz, then what? Yes. Must be b'shishim. So how can you claim that the standard shear is 100 if the whole point of this Mishnah is to say, well, if you're getting away with me, Mishnah, I mean, you don't need 100, but you need something. What do you need? 60. Says Rashi, I don't understand. If there's no taste, you shouldn't need anything. So obviously I am right that even when there is no taste, you're still going to have this problem of shishim. So having no taste doesn't help you if you don't have shishim. This is Rashi's proof. Now Tosfos said, I'm going to address that proof when we get there, but this approach is ridiculous. And nobody agrees with Rashi. Everybody agrees that these are alternatives. And yet indeed this sugya seems very, very much to point to Rashi. Says Tosfos, no it doesn't. Because the diak over here is not from the assumption that when something doesn't have a taste, it's going to need shishim. The diak over here is from the wording. Remember, we're dealing with a special case here. Right? We're dealing with a mechametz, a metabol, a medameya. These are things that we're being more machmer on than in other things. So what we want to show over here is that since you said, bein yesh ben lalot b'me'a ve'achad, bein elam lalot b'me'a ve'achad, all it should have said was, ein ben benotein tam mutar, period. So what are you talking about? Whether it has me'a ve'achad, doesn't have me'a ve'achad. Oh, therefore it's clear, says the Gemara, the Sattos understands it, therefore it's clear that that is the chumra that we're giving here when it comes to medamea or metabol or mechametz, that although we're willing to do without the mea v'echad, which is the norm, if there would be any other problem tasteable, we're willing to be a little bit softer about it. But you still need a shear. Okay, so what's that shear? That shear is 1 in 60. I mean, if you're telling me that all over the shear is 1 in 100, how are we going to be more mako of the thing that we're being more machmer on? This is ridiculous. But we're certainly not saying that normally, if you don't have a tam, you're still going to need a shear. This is a special case. This is how Tosfos learns it. Clear? Pretty clear?
Why shouldn't we be mad?
Why shouldn't it be mea? Yeah, because we've already established it's not discernible, so we'll go down and we'll relinquish.
Even though it's a
even exactly.
But on things that aren't.
But on things that aren't, stop. Then forget about it. No taste, no problem. What do I need 60 for? This is how Tosfos and all the Rishonim agree with Tosfos, as far as I know. I don't know if anybody else agrees with Rashi. The Rashi's approach here is unique. Now, so what we're saying, therefore, is, now let me just point out something. Here it says, Yibein yesh ben la'alot b'mea ve'echad. Be'en ben la'alot b'mea ve'echad. Now that's a little disturbing. Because b'mea ve'echad really, of course, must mean 100 to 1. Mea ve'echad means with the entire mixture is mea ve'echad. Problem is that we saw there was ambiguity in that sugya yesterday when we said 61, whether it meant 61 to 1, or did it mean 61 and including the 1. Now, that's maybe a problem here too. And of course, that's exactly the direction that we're going to need to take in order to get out of this problem that Abai is raising. Maybe indeed, mea ve'echad means 101 to 1, and therefore, this case, doesn't matter if you have 101 to 1 or not, it's okay even if you have 100 to 1. But not shishim. In other words, you're jumping to conclusions that it's shishim. That obviously is where the Gemara is going. Now, in order to get there, we're going to agonize a little bit and do it step by step so that you see what happened. But we understand already from our experience yesterday the way that we have to deal with this, okay? Says the Gemara, okay, so in bem la'alot b'mea ve'echad, all right? So what's left? Shishim, right? No, not shishim. In 100, that's the point. 100 of heter. What are you talking about, 100 of heter? That's what we've been talking about all along. Is enough when you want to be machmir? Which, again, because we're assuming that when it says 101, it means 100 to 1. So therefore you look around, what are you, crazy? If the resha, which was coming to tell me, and where do we want to be machmir? There it says you're going to need 101, which of course must mean 100 to 1. Right? So over there, I'm in a resha, but may I... The safe has got to be b'shishim. I mean, how can they both be the same thing? How can you say, where I want to be machmir, you need 101, meaning 100 to 1, we think. And where I want to be mako, you don't need 100 to 1. You need 100 to 1. What are you talking about? It's got to be b'shishim, right? Because if the resha is coming to be la'achmir, what does it say over there? Min b'mino. I said if it's min b'mino, then it's always la'achmir. Ketzad. Let me explain to you what I mean. You've got a case of a mechametz. Okay, so you've got a little sourdough of chitim that fall into a dough that's made out of wheat flour. That's min benino. The sourdough is chitim and the wheat and the dough is chitim. It's just you have an additional leavening agent that you got to take into consideration because it's gotten mixed with yeast cells that have grown in it, right? Okay, so now in that case, I got to tell you that if there's kedei la'achmitz, I don't give a hang if it's 1 to 1,000. If there's kedei la'achmitz in there, that means it's detectable. Because you're always going to be tasting the tam of the sourdough in the chemotz.
The tam with the effect.
It's really, according to most, the effect. But Rashi learns that the effect is the equivalent of tam. So he uses the word tam, that's why I use that word over here. But we'll get more, you guys are too sharp for me. I try to like get by it, you know. But we'll get into that later. What do you mean dough? Not dough, sourdough. No, so you'd have matzah, what do you care? Well, you don't like matzah? You have a problem with matzahs? So then, it's always going to be awesome. Now, how about if, so there, yesh b'kedei la'achmitz, then it doesn't matter. And yesh b'kedei la'alot b'be'achad, and b'kedei la'alot b'be'achad, it's always awesome. The other way around also, even if you cannot detect any type of leavening, if it doesn't have enough to be oila b'me'a b'achad, then it doesn't matter if yesh b'kedei la'achmitz, b'in b'kedei la'achmitz, it's awesome. Okay, so in other words, what is the determining factor? 100 to 1, or whichever one, or the effect, right? Okay, so you're saying, it doesn't have 100 to 1. No. So now you're telling me, that's the chunra. The kula is, it doesn't have 100 to 1. I mean, is something wrong with you? The ratio that's coming, the chunra says 100 to 1, and the sefer says, well, it's okay if it's 100 to 1. That's a big kula. So both the ratio of a sefer, which are coming to contrast, are talking about the same thing, right? 100 to 1. You explain this to me? No, you don't understand. The ratio meant 100 to 1 to 1. That's the point. The ratio is b'meyah b'chad. The safest thing, you don't need 101 to 1. What do you need? You jump to the conclusion, you need 60. No, 100. Fine. The safer b'meyah. So, by the way, you're saying 100 to 101 to 1 is the case in the ratio. Are you trying to tell me that you are capable of detecting the chimutz in 101 to 1? Those kind of proportions are not within normal human ken, are they? Why wouldn't it be bottle? Ishtik. Wait a minute. Hold on. He'll say it. Ishtik. He didn't know how to answer that one, Rabbi, when he was saying it over. Let me tell you something. Is it possible that the reason is that sourdough is extremely effective? And not because of the tam, you see. So since the chimutz is kosher, the effect therefore is going to be felt anyway. Oh God, you just reminded me. Adachran milta. Of course, I wasn't thinking. Because Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina said, you should know, that lo kol ha-shiurim shavim. You cannot jump to conclusions about shiurim. Because there are cases where you have tremendous impact, either in terms of taste or in other terms, saltiness and things like that, even if it's not the taste of the yisr, it's not always the same. And I'm going to prove it to you. Take a look at sear. Sear is a juice that comes out of fish when you salt it. Yeah?
Brine.
Now, the shear in fish, if you work it out, comes out to close to 200 to 1. 192 to 1, it turns out.
What to what?
Scientifically,
if you have, let's say, sear of dog and tomato, get mixed up at sear of dog and tomato, you'll need 192 parts to one.
If you make herring, you know how long the smell is.
Oh, God, forget it. Forget it. That's why you got to keep out of the kitchen. The Tanam, Dak Tamei Tziro Asur, and Rabbi Yehuda said it's Osir, one revi'it in two sa'ar. Whoa. Now that is unbelievable, because a saw is, you've got six kav, four revi'is in each lug. That means you've got 96 revi'ot in each kav, which is 192 that you've got in the two sa'ah. And he's still saying that if it's any less than that, it won't be. But wait. I thought, of course, Rabbi Yehuda min wasn't bottle at all. Now you're really confusing. You just said a minute ago. It's min bimino, the brine. Brine. Answers the Gemara. Brine is brine. David. You want to just write the daf in advance and then we'll learn it?
Two different fishes.
Yeah. They say you can't be medayik that amount. That's called min bimino. We'll get more into what precisely defines min bimino. It gets a lot crazier than what you're thinking. There's cases where things have no taste in common at all, and they're called min bimino. So hold on, you'll be even more surprised than right now. So min bimino isn't bottle, I thought. Yeah, but this is just brine, as Reb David has told us, and Shema Minami Reb David, that tzir is zeya bialma, and since it really isn't such a serious thing, so Rashi understands since it's only zeya. It's really only an Issur D'Rabbanan, and therefore we don't want to be machmer on it. Tosfos says that, but that's not the point. The point is that it's a bad. It's not a taste that is normal. It's a taste that's garua. Like we said, mei beitzim. What are you telling me that an egg doesn't give out molecules from the egg? I mean, it's a completely porous shell, as the Mefarshim points out. You can easily test the porosity of the shell by putting a little bit of dye into a pot with egg, and the egg turns colors. I mean, For heaven's sakes, don't you keep Easter? So if that's the case, why did we say Kamei Beit Sin B'Yom? Because it's a Geruah taste. It's barely discernible. Tzir is called a Geruah taste. The taste of the fish in Tzir is minimal. And so Mamela, since it's Zeh B'Yom, even Rabbi Yehuda is not mach to say it shouldn't be bought.
It's not that it's not Yehuda B'Mina.
It's a min bimino that doesn't. First, you need to have taste to determine whether it's min bimino. You don't really have taste. The whole thing is a chumra. Not going to be mach, which should never be batal. But in any event, you do see that when something is pungent, so you're the saltiness of it means that not the taste of the fish, but that saltiness. So it means that certain things are going to be more discernible. So here you're telling me, and this seems to be the logic in the Gemara. I'm asking you, you're really tasting the sourdough? Gee, I don't know, that's crazy. I'm not really tasting it. Ah, so why would it be usher 101 to 1? Maybe it's because not of the taste, but because of the impact of the leavening agent. Ooh, you just reminded me. That's the case by Tzir. Obviously, it's not the impact of the taste of the fish. Because if it were, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, it shouldn't be bottled at all. But it's a reference to the fact that since it's so salty, so it has a different impact. But that itself is the tzir. So memela, it's detectable. That's the point. It doesn't have to be detectable with a tam that I consider to be kosher. And that would be the reason that a leavening agent would be usur. So it turns out that this whole discussion that we had over here may well lie beneath the surface of the sugya, that was what was going on when Rav Dimi and Abaya were talking back and forth through this issue, that it really is not always a function of taste.
The salt is on the fish.
That's true, but the mix is nonetheless detectable. It has a big impact. So, okay, it's not really taste, it's only Zeya, and therefore we're not going to be machmir on it. That's true too. But what I get out of a brine is a fish brine. So it does have its own specific identity. Okay, continues the Mishnah, the next piece. Kate said, Misharina. So the Mishnah asks, okay, where do we go from here? How do we actually analyze a gid that was cooked in meat? So you didn't take out the gid on Asher, you boiled up the thigh. Now what happens? So the Mishnah said, it's like meat in turnip. Omer Rav Huna, well, the turnip is too loose of a term. It's like meat in the head of the turnip. Because the head of the turnip is, at least has got some serious taste in it. It's got a little bit of sweetness. And that will be mavato the tam. But if you're talking about in the stems, they have no taste at all. So over there, gosh, I mean, any little bit of meat you're going to be able to detect in a tasteless stem. So it's got to be referring to the lettuce, to the turnip heads. Which means masnisa deloki aitana. By the way, the whole Mishnah runs completely counter to the shita that we know, and of course we discussed earlier, Ein begidin benotin tam, and that is Rabbi Shrovenosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. He holds ein begidin benotin tam. What are you discussing? Whether there's, how do we analyze the taste of the gid in the meat? There is no taste of the gid in the meat. That's how we analyze it. So if the Mishnah is giving me a shear, well, you know, pretend it's made out of meat and you put it into turnip. What are you talking about? You're making rock soup here. This is not considered to be a tam at all. I would utter the kamei Rabbi Chanina. Somebody walks in with exactly this shiloh. He had cooked up a thigh, goes in to ask shiloh by Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina used to sit at the door to hear the different shilohs that people would come in with. He wanted to hear Rabbi Chanina paskin, so he was getting shimush without interfering. Okay. So when the guy comes out, so he says, so what did he paskin? My Omar Lacha. He told me it's mutter. Omele Shariani Alei. Now, Rav Yehuda Bar Zvina had seen that there wasn't over there enough to be Mevatel the Tam if it would have been Kibbutz of Rosh Elefatot. So he said to him, you know what? Maybe you didn't explain it well to him. Why don't you go back and ask him the shaila again? I'm like, how do I look? I go, bring it back in. Brings it back into Reb Chanina. I said, so who is making trouble out there? Somebody sent you back in. Man, hide the come entirely. Somebody's making me trouble. You better watch out. Tell the guy behind the curtain, whoever that is. Emily Lamandiyati Bababa. Tell the guy that's sitting on the stairs out there. Ain't beginning minute in time. We don't paskin like this mission that you gotta analyze bus brushing if I thought. There's no problem. Just cut off everything and throw out the gid, because the gid doesn't give taste at all. Tiyato Lakami Reb Ami, when they would bring this Shaila to Reb Ami, he himself didn't have the guts to say in beginning minute in time. And the mission, he didn't hold in beginning minute in time. On the other hand, he doesn't want to be mocked on people because he holds Yesh B'nim and Atin Tan. So he would send them to Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Chalub. Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Chalub would pass it to them always to be mocked. Exactly. The Mori Lada Hetera. And he would be saying to Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi that held that in beginning and Atin Tan. But he himself, you see, Reb Ami himself didn't hold it. Because he couldn't pass him that way himself. And what's he going to say? Well, Rabbi Yishur ben Levi says, I mean, I don't feel shalom with this. I don't hold of it. So he would send it to him. The halacha is, it doesn't matter whether you boiled it or whether you broiled it, like the case we had afterwards, or whether you salted it, whatever the case is. You don't have to worry about anything. Because you just pull it out afterwards and throw it out. Now, of course, that doesn't mean, says Rashi, that the shuman of the git doesn't ask. Because the shuman of the git has a taste. We saw earlier. And the shuman of the git, that you'll have to take into consideration. If there was that much shuman of the git, maybe you will have to be machmer. Again, remember, we spoke about that earlier, according to one approach in the Rishonim. Because we asked, why don't we worry about the shuman? We said, if the git itself isn't aser, then the shuman doesn't ask. Okay, that's not... In this case, the git, if it did have time, would have asked. The git on Asher has a shell around it.
All
tough git. We'll see differences between gitei tzavar. We already saw. There's tough git in, and then there's. We'll see in Orva Rota if it goes through the different types of git. No, there's no English to a gid, because in Hebrew it means many different things. Mm-hmm. So it could be a tendon, it could be a sinew, it could be a connective tissue, it could be a nerve, like the gid on Russia is a nerve, it could be a blood vessel. It looks like a strandy, tough fiber. What it's actually made of is irrelevant, halalach. That's always called a gid. Okay, Rabotai, wasn't that fun? Rav Amar, Lo Nitzricha, when it says over here, Zeu het Rabba Mechlal Yisr, it's a reference to Tam Ke'ikr in Kotcher, which normally is Osir. Kamash Bo and Dahachi Shori. And why not be Lig Marmine? Why? Because you can't. Gol Rachman Agabi Chatat, Kol Asher Yiga Bifsara Yigdash, which means, Lihiyot Kamoa, so that if the Chatat is Psulati Pasel, Vim Ksherate Achel Kechamur Sheba, I understand. Why not use this as the model, Ligmor Mihai from Zerah B'Sheila? No, you can't do that. It's a Chiddush. Because it's a Chatchila. I mean, Chiddush L'Gamrina. So how do we use it for Me'a V'Shishim Nami Lo Ligmor? Ah, come on. Atu Anan L'Kula Gamrina and L'Chumrika Gamrina. Because Midioraita Beruba would have been Bato. Ravina Amar, when it says Zeu Et Rabba Mechal Yitzir, it means that this is the only place we're ready to be matted, the Makom Chatak. That's the point. The Makom Chatak B'Yalma, normally in a case, let's say, a treifa by an Uber, would be Yosef Achashori. Yotir Rabdimi, and he was saying this over, how can you say that anybody would hold that Kol Yitzir Shebatorah B'Me'a, which is what he was repeating, was the Ritual Bar Yitzchak's approach in Bar Kappara. But not. Lema Amru, not Lama, by the way. Lema Amru, Kol HaMechametz Umechabel Metabel Umedamea is Lahachmir. That's Mibemino. and lema amru la'kel v'la'achmir, that's mean b'sheino mina. Now, katani sefer. And when you say la'kel v'la'achmir, mean b'sheino mina, what do you mean? Oh yeah, well, let's take grease in of truma. Shinit bashlu im ha'adashim. So therefore, so like this. Im yesh b'em menotein tam. So then, that's l'chumra. Because then, ben yesh b'em la'alot b'mei avachad, ben en lehem la'alot b'mei avachad, it's always going to be awesome. On the other hand, l'kula, is that if you know that there's no neitein tam, so it's like a kohen ate it, so then it doesn't matter. Ben yesh b'em la'alot b'mei avachad, ben b'em la'alot b'mei avachad mutar. Okay, so when you say, ein b'hem, but what does it have enough to? Ela b'mai, lav b'shishim? No, what do you mean b'shishim? B'meya was the chumra. The reisha was b'meya. So then the seif has to be b'shishim, right? I mean, it can't be the same thing, the chumra, the kula. The k'tari reisha la'achmir, min v'mino ketsa, tzor shal chitim shalafal yisat chitin, yeshbo k'dei l'chamet, v'yeshbo k'dei l'chamet, so then it doesn't matter whether yeshbo l'ili la'alot b'meya v'echad, ain't b'la la'alot b'meya v'echad, it's always going to be awesome. If there's not enough to be mala b'meya v'achad, and it's also always going to be also whether yesh b'gedel ha'chametz b'nei b'gedel ha'chametz. So now you're telling me the reisha, which is l'chumra, is b'meya, and the seifa, which is b'kula, is b'meya. That's a little ridiculous. No. The reisha meant meya v'achad of heter against one of iser. The seifa is saying you don't need 101. It's enough to only have a mere 100. So, and what are you telling me? That yesh bo k'dei l'chametz b'meya v'chad. So I understand you're going to really detect the taste in that. Well, why wouldn't it be batel? Ishtik. They didn't know what to say. I'm like, d'yoma shiny sor d'chimutzo kasheh. Oh my God, you just reminded me. At kartan milta d'yom reb yesh reb chanina lo kol ha'shiurim shavim harit sir shiur akarov l'matayim 192 to one. The Tanan Dag Tameit Siro Asur, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's also even one Raviyat in Tusa. V'Oma Rabbi Yehuda, Min B'mina Lo Batel at all, I thought. No, but this is different, because Tzir is really Zeh B'Yalmo. Kates in Misha Arinan, Omer Avuna Kabosar, when the Mishnah says Kabosar B'Lefet, it means Bosar B'Roshay Lefet, not Bosar in the tasteless, what did I say the word was? Stems of Lefet. Matnitin de loki aitan. The Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko Omer, there is no taste in the Gidan Nosher. So what are we talking about? The taste of Bosser in Lefet? Ain Bikini ben Otein Tam. There was a case where Udiatav Kami Rabbi Chanina, where Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina was sitting by the door because he wanted to hear the Piskei Halachos. So when the guy came out, he asked him, so what did he paskin? Maram Lacha? So he said it's completely mutter. Well, you must have not told him all this. Go back in there. I'm like, how do I come in? So Reb Chanina says, who is making trouble over here? Man haidekom etzayerli. Zil emelei laman diyati v'abava. Ein beginin benotin tam. The Mishnah is not la'alocha. Ki otu lekamei the Rebami. He used to send the shayla to Reb Yitzchak ben Chalub, who was always more about a tera, Mishum Reb Yeshua ben Levi. But he himself, leilo svirale. V'ilchata, Ein begidin v'notein tam. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
We've got Tzadik Tes.
daf is daf tzadik tes, and we're holding on daf tzadik tes on the base. Let's try to remember where we were holding. We had just finished learning out from the din of Zerah b'sheila of the Mazir, where the Torah tells us to cook something that is iser for the bialin, it's only kosher for the kohen, to cook it together with what it is that the bialin is going to eat, the rest of the ayah, in the Nil Nazir. And there, depending on how you learn, whether you do basar hadi basar, basar hadi basar v'atzameis, you would derive the proportion of either meya or shishi. And how much is asr? The Gemara was disturbed by the fact that the Braisa says that this is a unique case, that zehu heter abon mechlalis or mashkut, there are no other cases, and that we don't use this as a model. And the Mela, we had to explain what was it referring to when it said zehu heter abon mechlalis. Because apparently the Braisa is saying not to use this as a model. So we had an explanation, and we're talking about Libra Rabbi Yehuda. Since it's a case of min b'mina, normally min b'mina wouldn't be bata. In this case, min b'mina is bata. According to what works out, so this is a unique case, and the reason we don't learn from it is because we learn not better from the Dhamma Par and the Dhamma Sar, which ran in this week's Parsha. But it's not bata min b'mina. And this is a unique case, because indeed it's a chiddush that we're mevatlis v'chakhila. Therefore, we can't use it as a model. Why do we use it as a model for Shishim and Meya? Because them is we use it as a model of Chumrah. Model of Chumrah, what's the big deal to use it? I mean, Bikra, I didn't meet your rice. It was Gautal Barot. So we're going to use this as sort of an asmachta to create a new Isser of Meya or Shishim to be bought. Now, to this question, Rava has a different solution, which, of course, is preferable to saying that it's going only Dafka, leave the river here. Huh? So Rava wants to say that this statement in the Braisa, that the case of El Nazir is the only case of Heter Abom Chalitzer, is talking about Lo Nitzrecha Ela L'Tam Ke'ir. What it's coming to tell me is like this. This is a case in which we're matir, the taste of the Zreya B'Sheila in the ayah. Normally we wouldn't be matir in Kachin. And therefore, the Kachin also, Kamash Mandal Hashar, it's coming along, therefore to tell us that this is a unique case. Normally when it comes to Kachin, Tam Ki Iker is also. Right? It's very important. This concept of Tam Ki Iker is central to the whole discussion of Tarugas, obviously. It's very important to qualify clearly what it is that we're talking about. We have a number of different elements that we have to consider when it comes to Tarugas. We have a Tarugas of Yavesh B'Yavesh, which is a Tarugas of items. And we have a case of Yavesh B'Yavesh in the Mishnah where a Gid is misired with other Gidim. The din over there is you go according to Rav. So if you have two kosher things and one treif things, you can eat all three. The reason that the Mishnah says, but a git isn't batal, is because, as we'll see, birya, the git is a birya, and birya isn't batal, and the same thing, chatei chalulim is habit, but there's certain things that are not batal. But midiraisa, one and two is batal, there's no problem, you always be able. You remember which one it is, Moshe Baruch? Oh yeah, but don't, if you don't remember, just call me and I'll come in. Then we have a mixture in which you have partially things. This is called Heter Mitztaref L'Isser, and that was the case we had before in Maseches Avodah Zarah. We were talking about learning out from a Nazir, but the Torah says the Nazir is not allowed to dip bread into wine. Right? Now over there, we said that we have a halakha, that if you eat a kezias, where there's not enough of wine to be mashlim, but the bread is mashlim, the kezias. Heter mitztaref l'isser's unique din by Nazir, where the Torah said mishrat anavim. So even soaking that which you soaked becomes now part of the isser itself. That has nothing to do with the taste. That's it. It has to do with the shear.
So even if you would have, let's say, a chatzizayas of iser, the chatzizayas of heter, if you hold heter mitzvah for iser, then we understand that when the Torah asks something, it asks any amount of that thing. The only problem is that if you don't eat it, there's no iser. And eating is defined as a kezayis. So for all intents and purposes, it turns out that the Torah is saying, don't eat a kezayis. Well, what happens if you manage to eat it without eating a kezayis? How could you do that? I eat something else at the same time. So you're doing the pula of eating. And while you're doing the pula of eating, you're consuming iser. So if you hold heter mitzarif l'iser, then you would be fine for the iser, you see. Now that has nothing to do with the taste, even though there's no taste for klal. That has to do with defining the nature of achila and the way that the Torah created iser in the Torah. As it turns out, we don't paskin heter mitzarif l'iser by anything else except by mishrat anavim, by nazir. Iser nazir heter mitzarif l'iser. Now we come to a new issue, which in a way is more chomer than heter mitzarif l'iser, and in a way is more kal than heter mitzarif l'iser. Because in heter mitzarif l'iser, you have actual iser that's be'en in front of you. It hasn't melted away. In tam ke'iker, you don't have any actual iser in front of you. For instance, the case in the Mishnah, you took the git and you threw it out now. Now you just have the rotav, right? There's no actual iser here. There's taste of iser in the rotav of the soup. So now the question is, what is the halacha of het of tam ki'ikar? This is a tremendous machlokas rishonim, how to paskin, based on our Gemara, Margalit Gemaras. The Makor and the Torah for the central idea of tam ki'ikar, who remembers? What does the Torah tell us to make sure to use kosher pots, not pots that have absorbed this, sir?
Midyan.
Midyan? Play Midyan. So if there's no such, I'm certainly not eating the pot, and I'm certainly not eating the trephus and the velas that were cooked in the pot, I'm eating the taste. Nonetheless, the Torah says, make sure that you cook out these pots beforehand, and if it was used in fire, you have to actually light a fire and make it glow, and it's not enough hagola, so yavi be'esh. Obviously, the Torah's makban on the taste. So from there, the Chaora, you see that there is a concept of an Issa D'Oraisa called Tam Ki'ikar. Now the question is, okay, might there be, and this is how Rashi learns, might there be a reason not to learn out from that case? Rashi says the reason is because you end up having Shnei Ksivim Arba'in Kecha. If you include Issa Nazir, and you include the Issa of the Klei Midyan, so it comes out that those are unique psukim, and you can't learn out from them. However, there's another question: what is the definition of tam ki'ikar? Because at one point, let's say that I have a piece of fat. The piece of fat melted into my rice stew. Now, is that tam ki'ikar? Is there mamoshes over there? What defines the mamashut of Isur and what defines the tam? At what point is the tam actual mamashut? The Rambam has a very clear-cut hagdara. It's very simple, says the Rambam. The definition of eating is to do what? To eat a kezayis in the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras. What a pras is, by the way, is also machlokas rishonim. According to Rambam, a pras is 3 beitzim. And according to almost all the other Rishonim, a pras is 4 beitzim. Fine. But whatever it is, a kezayis in that shear is the shear that defines the act of eating. So when you're eating your matzah, you'll stop eating your kezayis after the amount of time that it would have taken you to eat 3 or 4 beitzim, depending on that sheet. Right? After that, doesn't count anyway. There's no point in eating more matzah. So now, says the Rambam, you have to understand that the shear of the act of achila also defines the presence of the iser. Because if you can't possibly eat this iser, namely, that there's less than a kezayis of iser in a mixture of 3 beitzim, so then the iser is not there in terms of its mamashut, because how can you eat it? No matter how quickly you eat, you're eating it, a kezayis of it, in more time than it's taking you to eat the pras. So you'll never eat a kezayis before the achilas pras. It's a brilliant a brilliant analysis. Therefore, the meaning of tam keiker, says the Rambam, is anything less than the proportion of a kezayis b'chtei achilas pras in a mixture, essentially, for all intents and purposes, leaves you only with the taste. There's no way to eat the actuality of the yisur. Then, when you're left only with the taste, that is an isur d'rabbanan. And that he agrees with Rashi. And Rashi and Rambam are just about the only ones who stick with this lahalach. The tam keiker is only d'rabbanan. Then they learn the whole sugya here on that basis, including what it is we're about to discuss. And Tosfos and the Rush and the Tur and almost all the other Rishonim learn that tam keiker is the araisa. But again, there's machlokas, and then between them as to what actually constitutes the tam that would be also the araisa. There's a tremendous nafkamina, because if you hold that tzedek tur, tam keiker the araisa, once you have the shear, and indeed he ends up agreeing that the shear is the Rambam shear. Once you have the shear of a kezayis b'chtei achilas pras, the whole thing becomes also. Not like the Rambam who says, well, if you eat the pras, then you've eaten the kezayis your chayim. No! If you hold tam keiker midiraisa, once you have a mixture of kezayis b'chtei achilas pras, then if you eat a kezayis of that mixture, you would be chayim, you see? Without anything to do with heter mitzaref l'isser. Because now the heter itself has become isser because of the taste of isser that's in it. That's if you would hold tam keiker d'oraisa, you would then get malchus on eating a kezayis of a mixture that contains a kezayis of isser b'chtei achilas pras in total of a mixture of heter and isser. Whereas according to the Rambam and according to Rashi, well, forget it, Rashi doesn't even agree with the Rambam on the other part, but about the chiyav. But according to Rambam, you would be chayav only if you actually ate an entire kezayis of isser. And in order to do that, you'd have to eat three kebetzim, according to the Torah's definition, would be four kebetzim of the entire mixture. So you'd only be chayav malchus if you ate the whole thing, according to the Rambam. Okay, so that's a brief encapsulation of the different approaches. Now, it's important to note that in our sugya, we run into a little bit of a problem right at the beginning with Rashi's approach. Now, let's take a look now at what Rav is saying. Rav is saying, Nitzcha ela l'tam keiker. The braisa that says, this is, you'll never make up what you just missed. The braisa says that this is a unique case, and that zeo heter abam echalis, is actually only a reference to kachim. So it's saying, vis-a-vis kachim, this is a unique case. Because normally when it comes to kachim, tam is keiker. And we know that. How do we know that? Because the Torah says to Farish that if something touches the korban chatas, it's bad news. Right? You have to eat it with the chumrah of the chatas, and anything that absorbs chatas has to be broken, has to be boiled, depending on what it is. So clearly the Torah is marked on the taste of a chatas in something. So that we know tam keiker when it comes to kachim, right? Nonetheless, in this particular case, the Torah said, cook the zra b'shela with the ayah. This is a unique case. Don't learn out from it that other cases by kachim, but don't learn out from it that other cases by kachim would be mutter, and we wouldn't say tam keiker. No. This is zehu heter that is mitzar, that is bar miklal yisro. So lo nitzchelu latam keiker to be kachim asr, gamash mandach ashar. So the Torah is coming to tell me that here it's mutter. Asks the Gemara the Ligmar Mina, why don't we learn from this case to be matir kachim also with tam keiker? Answers the Gemara, Goli Rachmona Gabi Chatas, Kolashi Gabi Sara Yigdash, Liyot Kamoha. Since the Torah told me by a Chatas that any Nigia in its bosom will be Machai of you to treat whatever was Bolea from it as if it's a Chatas, she impisulati pasel, Vim Kisherate Achel Kechamur, it should say Kechamur Shebahem. And I will explain to you why it should say that in a moment. But that's Rabbi Yochanan's Girsa, Kechomer Shebehen. So that if the tapas is pasul, what absorbed its taste becomes pasul. And if the chatas is kosher, then it has to be eaten according to the chumrah of the mixture. So let's say a chatas touches a shlomim. Normally a shlomim can be eaten by anybody, and it can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. And if eaten for 2 days, if it touches a chatas, now it can only be eaten in the Azara, by Zichre Kavuna, and only for 1 day. But suppose it never touched it before. Suppose, however, the shlomim was already on its second day. Now the shlomim is more chomer than the chatas, because the chatas can be eaten till the morning. And the shlomim can only be eaten till the evening, you see, because the shlomim is eaten for 2 days and the night in between, but it's not eaten for that night. So therefore, to take the chomer shebehen, because the chatas absorbs from the shlomim, as much as the shlomim absorbs from the chatas, therefore Rabbi Nachmanu has the gears for the chomer shebehen. Fine. But anyway, can we therefore say that the Torah is going to be matir tam ki ikur bekachim? Of course not, because it says beferish bechatas. Therefore, we'll have to admit that this is a unique case when it comes to kachim. As the Gemara ma chazita the gamrina mihech ligmar mihai, what makes you look at the model being el nazir? Why don't we look at the model? I mean, being the chatas, why don't we look at the model to be the El Nazir and be matir tam ki ikur by kachin? Because this case is a chiddush. Same Torah you said before. What's the chiddush? The chiddush that the Torah said, do a lechatchila. Where did you ever hear such a thing? The Torah should say, do something which has iser in it, lechatchila, to mix it, and then you'll have to worry how much there is. So obviously, it's a special case. Umechiddush lo gamrina. So if that's the case, how can you use this chiddush to explain the mea b'shishim that you're arguing when it comes to chulin, the gabi tam kiker, and of course by chulin anyway, it's really only drabona. It's an extension of the idea. Says the Gemara, okay, come on, atranan the kula kam gamrina and the chumra kam gamrina. I mean, this whole thing is a chumra b'yalmida. We're saying midirabona, right? Because midiraitza, which would be batal barov, and we're saying, no, nope, you're not going to be able to rely on rov, you're going to have to wait until you have shishim or man, okay, so you're basically using this sort of as a, you know, an asmas of the alma about an issa drabona. That's what you're doing. But you're not really learning anything out of it. You're certainly not going to take advantage of the fact that it's a special case of kula. On the contrary, you're being machner using this special case of kula. So what's your problem? Okay, now, I sort of fooled you with this. Because, and here's where we run into our problems with Rashi's Pshat. The way that I fooled you was by explaining that let's use this as a model for Gabi Kachin would mean that let's use this as a model to say that Tam Ki Iker should be butter by Kachin. Now, what would that mean? The Torah says Beferish, Kol Asher Yigab B'Tzara Yigdash. So that's the case. The mixture, the Torah says, is also. So what are you telling me we should use as a model for what? I certainly don't mean we should ignore the other parts, but there's no other cases. That's the case. Either kachim absorbs from kachim or doesn't absorb from kachim. Right? Where's the other case to use it as a model? Therefore, and here's where we run into our problem. Therefore, Rashi understands the sugya according to him, but Tam Ki Iker is also by kachim. So he has to explain that when he says, let's use it as a model, what it means is, let's use the amounts as a model. In other words, we're really talking about a case where you have a tam that is extremely diluted, because you've got either 100 or shishim connected to tam. Even in a place where we construct an iser min rabbanan of tam to it, we certainly don't go beyond mea v'shishim. That's the amount that we assume is the dilution level in which we're ready to look at it as a tam, correct? So therefore, the kasha in the Gemara is, well, why don't we say that basically, the Torah gives us an example of a case of kachin, where you're allowed to eat something if it's shishim or mea. So why don't we matir other kachin, the shishim or mea, such as, let's say you would have pigul or nisr, which is this. Not one kaddish and another kaddish. An iser that's the day of kachin in kachin. Why not say that it should be batel b'shishin. Well, you see what's wrong over here. What's wrong over here is that Rashi is comparing what Tosfos terms, this becomes now a technical term in the literature on the subject, a tam kalush. Tam kalush is something that is more dilute than the amount that would be matir normally. So let's say shishin, or if you hold like the Shmuel Maimor over here of Mea. But whatever the shear is, this is a tam kalush. So what forces you to say, asks Tosfos, to create this whole thing around a tam kalush, because tam kiikar is definitely a derabbanan when it comes to chulin, and that's what Rava is saying, is that by chulin it's a derabbanan. If you're ready to talk about a tam kalush, then by chulin it's not asir anyway. Had you been talking about a regular tam kiikar, you could have said, okay, Rava is answering, by chulin it's only derabbanan, and therefore, but you don't need even to say that, because anyway your discussion is as regards the tam kalush by kachin. So what forces you because to say that we're talking about a libra rava that tam kaker is actually heter gomer when it comes to chulin? Maybe it is, sir. But there's no din of this tam kalush. In any event, based on this sugya and other sugyas as well, Tesis indeed learns that tam kaker is the arising, not like Rashi. And therefore, if there would be a sophic, it would be again. He says, "Some drabbanim lekula by a tam kiikar." Or do you say, let's say, the common case is where some of the mixture is poured out. You don't know now how much water there was in the pot originally. They poured out the soup. So now the question is, was there enough liquid in that soup to be mavato the yisur that had fallen in or not? If you hold tam kiikar's drabbanim, you go, look, cool. You say, look, I don't know, so it's only an Issa Drabon, and I'll be making. If your time kickers be arising, you have to go to Chumra. Okay, so we'll see that there are many cases where we're going to run into the differences between these two sugyas. But in any event, it's important to understand simply the pshat in the sugya that Rashi's asking, why don't we learn out the Gabi mixtures of Kachin to rely on Shishin or on Meya? And on that, he says, because why should we use this as the example? After all, this is a chiddush. Mechiddush lo gamina. If you want to learn out the chumra, such as by chulin, where there's the chulal no din of tam kiikar, and the whole din was created min rabbanan. Okay, so if that's the case, you can use this sort of as an esmachta to shishim u'meya, but you certainly can't use it as a marker of being matir kachin. That's how Rashi learns the sugya, and that's how we'll learn it now. Ravina Amar. Ravina says, I have yet another solution. Not that it didn't mean the mirror. Again, the solution to the problem of the Braisa. The Braisa has said, this case of El Nazir is unique. This is the only case we have Heter Abdel Bichlal Issa. What does that mean? And we're using it as the model for all cases. So again, the first shot was a Baya that talking about a libra you know, min b'minai. Normally it wouldn't have been batel. This is a unique case where min b'minai is batel. Rava said it's coming to talk about kachin. It's a unique case by kachin, where normally tam kiikar would be osir, even a tam kalush. This is a unique case where it's mutter. Now comes along Ravina. Is that another pshat? I would say the nitzra al makom chatas. It's the chiddush over here is, normally we say such as the case where we had where the Behema Mekasha, so we had the cases over there of Abraham Adul Dal, or we had the case of an Uber Shahosias Yodai. So over there the actual place that was Mechuber where you cut it is Osir. And over here the Torah didn't say to throw out anything. Why didn't say to throw out at least the Makom Katash? To say in this case where the two were actually up against each other, this case, the Mokum Chatach, you don't have to be Machmer. You cut off the Zorah of B'Shela, you give it to the Kohen, and you eat the rest. You say, what about that? The part over here where it actually was a part of the Zorah, that's fine. That's the way that it's supposed to be. And that's all that it's talking about. Yosef Rabdini, the Karmel Lashmachin, Rabdini was sitting around. And he was saying over at Shmuel, this is not Shmuel, our Shmuel, but Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, who said the shear is b'meya. So he was saying over the shear is b'meya, that we learn out from El Nazir, that it's b'meya. And he said to him, Amalei Abaye, how is it possible? I understand the Havamin and such. There's a Ferish and Mishnah love like that. Choli Zerim Shabbatera B'meya, how can anybody keep such a thing? Doesn't the Mishnah say the Ferish in Orla? The Ma Amru, Kol HaMechameitz, U'mitameh, U'midameh, La'achmir. When do we say the rule that anything that falls into another substance that causes it to be mitchameitz?
So you would have, in other words, something like this is true about gelling agents, emulsifiers, and, of course, chimutz, how do they say that in English? Leavening agents. So what case is it referring to that something that leavened something else? Or mitabel, that flavoring agent, that a flavoring agent is going to be awesome. Or midamea, we have a mixture of chulin and truma. Where did we say that that's always lahachmir? And we're going to explain this. Where do we say it's always lahachmir? Min b'mina. Min b'mina is always a chulin. Where do we say lahakelhu lahachmir? Where do we say our shiurim that is both as chumra and kula in it? That is min b'she'eino mina. And then it explains. It explains in the Mishnah itself what the reference is to. So it says like this: Katani Sefer. When we said lahakel alahachra by min b'she'eino mina, what do we mean lahakel alahachra? Well, let's say you have some grisim, you have some peas that fall into adashim. You're making a mjedra. Now. No, it's not really objecting. It's Adashim should be the price. Im yesh ve'em b'nesei tam. So now a Kohen can turn it. It can taste. The Kohen's going to see if it tastes like pole. So then, if it has a nice and tam, it doesn't matter. This is the Chumrah. Doesn't matter how much you got there. Ben yesh ve'em l'ha'alot b'me'ah ve'achad. Ben heim ve'em l'ha'alot b'me'ah ve'achad. It's awesome. As long as that taste is there, you're definitely not allowed, if you're not a Kohen, to eat it. Ain bam a nice in time. However, if there is no nice in time, then ben sheyesh bam la'alot b'me'achad, ben she'ein bam la'alot b'me'achad, mutar. Then we don't care whether you have a mea, okay, against it. Now let's remember that we're dealing over here with a special case, which is true. When it comes to truma, we learn out from a pasuk, because the pasuk in reference to trumas meiser, how much is trumas meiser of the entire mixture? 1/100, right? So the 1/100, it says is mikdasho mimena, which means that whatever was taken out of it, if it falls back in, we'll answer it. Mikdasho mimena. That which could be makadosh, the whole thing again was taken from it, which means if it falls back in, then what is that proportion? 1 out of 100. 99 to 1, right? 99 to 1 is us, but 100 to 1 is butcher. So therefore it's coming to tell us, okay, but if the Kohen tastes it and there's no taste of it, sir, you don't need the 100 to 1. Now, what do you need? You could say, you don't need anything. I mean, you know, there's no taste, so you don't need anything. But remember that the Torah is defined over years, told us to be machmir l'gavei truma, and gave us a shiur that's more than the normal dilution of taste, right? So it can't mean that. And Tosfos explains that the diet of the Gemara is from the fact that instead of simply saying, im yesh bo menosin tam asur, that's all it should have said. Instead it says, Be'yeshba mea be'achad. But what is this straight cup over here of the mea be'achad business? Just say, in yeshba, in ain't a nation time, mutter. So clearly there's a reference here to something. You need something. What is the sheer of that something? So that's what the Gemara is asking. So what's the something? Lav b'shishim? Is it the something to be mavatal at b'shishim? So you see that when we're ready to relax the Chumra Dinim, Don't turn the page in. I want to discuss this with you. When we're ready, when we want to discuss the chumra dinim that apply to truma, and we can relax then because we know that there's no nesidas tam, that then the shira shishi. Now listen, Aliba in Rashi's pshat that we said before, that shishim is always 60 in a place where there is no nesidas tam. You see, then this makes a great deal of sense. And indeed, this is Rashi's model. What it's saying over here is that you need to satisfy both requirements. No nesidas tam, and there shouldn't be shishim. Tosu says, come on, man, that is no nesidas, whoever heard of such a thing. There's two different shiurim. One is yeshbi nesidas b'daisa tam, and the other is when it's yef shall make a matayim, and yef shishim. That's shishim and b'daisa tam. So therefore, he has a little bit of a problem with this Gemara. So he has to understand that in context of the fact that the Torah specifically was Merames and Apostic, as Mikdashon Mimenu, we're taking for granted that we have to define a Shira for it, even though it's been Mishenom. So we're not smart when it comes to Truma. So this is a unique situation where even though there's no Nesinas Tam, there is the standard Bittul. What's the standard bittul? What else can it be? It's got to be shishim. I've never heard of anything else. Galavamai, cloud of shishim. So in other words, the shear of bittul of tam, which never has nothing to do with growth, is 60. So what's the true about yitzchak coming along? We're talking about maya. Maya is a unique case where you have over here truma, where they're going to eat shalom make a matayma. That's fine. That's the case. In a case where you can't be ayman on the fact that there's no time. This is what you need mayor. We have minbeminai. So here, where you don't have that, lechayra, you go back to the standard bittul. What's standard bittul? Shishim. So you see from here clearly that standard bittul is shishim. Otherwise, the whole thing makes no sense at all. I don't understand. What was he talking about? Anybody who reads that Mishnah sees that the standard can't be male. Oh, no, says the Gemara. It doesn't mean in 60, it means in 100. What? No, it means if you don't have 101 of heter, not 101 in the mixture, 101 of heter to 1. That's the point. In other words, normally, you would have said you need 101. Over here, the finish is that if you only have 100 to 1, it's mutz. When it's not nosing tam, and when it's min, b'she'en omin. You can be omin on the tam.
Otherwise,
102? Total 102. Total 102. Yeah. Says the Gemara, now wait, come on. Hold on a second. The first part of the Mishnah was talking about where we're always machmir, right? It said, where are we always machmir? Min b'mina. The case by min b'mina was b'meya. So the difference between where we're being machmir and where we're sometimes being meiko, but min b'sheino mino, has got to be the difference between meya and shishim. You can't have the same thing twice. So it says in the Reisha, look, what do I mean when I say I'm always going to be machmer in a mixture of min b'mina? Here's the case. Sa'or shalfitin shenafala yisat fitin. Now you can't possibly taste the difference between the leavened fita and the unleavened fita. Tastes exactly the same. You put now the leavening into the dough. Now it leavens the dough. So we have over here a case of min b'mina. That's always l'chumra. If it has k'day l'chametz, ben yesh bo k'day l'halot b'me'a v'echa, ben ein bo k'day l'halot b'me'a v'echa, asur. So if there's chimutz in it, oh, that's forget it. And it doesn't matter how much the dilution is, it's going to be us.
As long as it's enough to leaven. It's never bottle.
Exactly. A leavening is never bottle as long as it's sufficient to leaven. So bein ein bo, it's always awesome. But how about if there is not enough to be bottled b'meya,
If there's not enough to be Mechametz, it's also always Mechametz.
Whether there is enough to be Mechametz or there's not enough to be Mechametz,
it's always going to answer. You see?
So you're now contrasting two cases. One case where it's always Lukhumra, Min Bemina, in either direction. Enough with comics, I don't give a hang how much there is. Not enough to be Batal and Echabima, I don't care if there's enough to be Mechametz or not. It's always Lukhumra. You always look at the worst side of it. But if it would be Min Bechano, Mina, you don't always look at the worst side of it. You go Lukhumra. Once you've decided that there's no Tom, so then you don't need the man. Isn't that what it's saying? So you can't have what? You're going to tell me the ratio is safe for both the man? You're trying to contrast two cases, one of which is going with one, one of which is going with woman. So you tell me, now both cases are the same. That's a wonderful contrast. So I don't understand what you're saying. No, man, ratio is the man of the chad, and the safe is the man. I explained to you that when it said, I said of the man, what I mean is 100 to 1. Ashenkin, the Rashi's case with Lachmer was 101 to 1.
A lot of contrast.
It is a lot of contrast. It's a lot of contrast because there is also, there are two levels of standard dilution. The level of Taima of the Alma, the standard dilution, is Shishi. The level of other impact is Echad B'mea V'Echad. One to 60, not, forget about Truma. 1 to 60 is the amount that we would normally be Mavatal a taste. It's too dilute. 1 in 100 is where we would normally be Mavatal impact. If you have less than 1% in the mixture, well, it's actually a lot less than 1%. It's 100 to 1 impact as far as Chimut is concerned. Right. So that type of thing, normally when you get up to such dilutions, you no longer are going to see any impact at all, even of a leavening age. That's what the Gemara, that's what triggers the Gemara's next question. Asks the Gemara, now wait a second. So if you're telling me now that we have over here 101 to 1, you're telling me that you have enough Kedela Chametz? You said the Chiyeshbo Kedela Chametz, the Me'a V'chad, am I low bottle? And once it's Me'a V'chad, then why wouldn't it be bottle? I never, there's no such thing that gives any significant impact in such a small proportion. One second. Ishti, you didn't want to know what to answer. Omar lays on my authority. But then he didn't have what to answer, so if I assess him, you know. Maybe the standard dilution shouldn't be utilized at all in cases where we're looking at impact. So if you're talking about Sa'or, maybe Sa'or is different. Maybe there's different levels of Sa'or. In other words, we're talking about over here a chemical, a catalyst of some sort. A catalyst, a very, very small amount, may be able to act upon a large amount. Maybe that's the pshat, that we're no longer dealing with impact that's measurable at all in terms of taste. Omar Lazer, do you say to me, you know what, you just reminded me of something. Astratan Milta, you reminded me, Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina said, Lo kol ha-shirim shavim, that even when it comes to detecting taste, the fact that we give a standard does not mean that the standard can be applied blindly. If you have things, not just like you said before, tavlin. Tavlin are taste agents. They're not just foods with taste. They're taste agents. You use a tiny amount of tavlin to impact on an entire stew. I mean, you never want to put in 1%, well, you know, 1% cinnamon, you'll never put in 1% cinnamon. It's an enormous amount. So there are certain things where the food itself could have an impact beyond the normal dilution. Because, you know, I remember a case, seared, which is very much fish brine. The fish brine is, I mean, you know how easy it is to detect that in a food. So seared, shiura karam lumatayim, it's almost
you need almost 200 to one to be mabatel. The tzan, dark tamei tziro asur. Here it says the tziro of a dark tamei is asur. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, revi'it b'satayim. One revi'it of dark tamei tzir in satayim of other tzir would be asur. Now that's basically 4 times 48. Would be the proportion, right? In Satayim, the number of the yod that you have in Satayim is close to 200. It's 96. Well, more, 92. 192. So how do we? So therefore, that's a tremendous proportion. So apparently. Yeah, what can I say? There's a difference between mea ve'achad to one and mea to one. Fine. Wait a second. Rav Yehuda couldn't have said that. Rav Yehuda's been b'mino is in bato. Hold on a minute over here. Make me crazy. You say, dear father, yeah, you almost got me. I thought Rav Yehuda says been b'mino is lo bato. Ah, means tzir is a unique case. But tzir isn't really usher at all. Tzir is only zeya b'yoma. So it's the stuff that comes out of the fish itself. Stuff that comes out of the fish is not really awesome, even though it has like a fishy taste to it and so on. But it's not what the Torah asked in the fish. By the way, there's a special pasuk that tells you that when it comes to chagavim of Yisr, the tzir is actually awesome in Yerisa. But by dagim, the tzir is not asur. This, by the way, is a root of a lot of kula psaks. Agave mixtures, processing, fish processing, where they, you know, very often you got a little bit of dolphin in your tuna fish. You know, things are stored together in the same, even though they're separated at the end and on the conveyor belt. But you could have tzir of dog and that is being mixed, but I would rely on this, that tzir
and dog tamei is not asur.
Is not asur. So therefore, since it's zeya b'alma, the rabbanim were machmir. It's okay, so they gave it shear. They give it. It's a higher shear, but you see that indeed, it's not impossible to say that we were kaveya shear of 101 to 1 as opposed to 100 to 1, and in order to distinguish between the ikar din that the Torah gave of Gittashomi Mena, which is about the Atam, and our additional Qumran Truma. Fine. Now getting back to our mission. The next piece in the mission said, Kate said, Misharina, and started talking about Basar Belefet. Now, it's not clear what is Basar Belefet. I mean, the turnip has got a turnip head, but it also has the roots. The question is, I mean, that's more pungent. Which one is more pungent? Machlokas here, which one it means. Omer Avuna, kibosar b'roshe lefatot. It's the rosh of the lefet. Rashi says the turnip head is actually sweeter in the than the root of the lefet. Part that we eat.
The
bulb, in other words. Rosh of the patot.
So the bulb is the root?
Oh, so then I know he calls it. He says this is the yerek of the left. He's calling. Tosus argues that, and Tosus learns that it's the bulb and it's the root. Okay, fine. No, but there's the greens. Rashi says it's the greens itself. We still eat that, don't we?
Turnip greens.
Sure, turnip greens.
You do that down south, my boss. That's black folks before time.
All right, so he says that it's in the Roche Lefatot, it's difficult, it's going to need more basar to put a taste into Roche Lefatot than it would into the, what he calls the Zanav of the. Of the turnip. And Tarsus learns it's the other way around. And the truth is that there's a very clear raya to Tarsus's pshat from the story of Boaz. This is Roshe Lefatot, Masa Besaroka, Roshe Lefatot, Vayila Feta Ish. Obviously, turnip greens are not very hard to be called Roshe Lefatot.
Straight up.
Oh, aren't they? I thought they were just like. Oh, okay. So maybe that's enough. All right. I mean, it doesn't bring it up. So, in any event, this, of course, is all based on what idea? There's a time. I mean, otherwise, the whole Mishnah falls apart. Masnita de lokai tana, which means that the Mishnah is not going like the following price of the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher of Yerushalayim ben Breit Omer, ain't the Gid in Menaisen Tam. If you hold that the Tam of the Gid is not considered to be a taste, so then if you boil up a Yerush with a Gid, all you have to do is cut it open, throw out the Gid, and you can eat the whole thing. Because there's no Tam, the claw from a Gid, and that's only possible. So that Lomaisa, the Mishnah, would be Shaloka Alofa. Ahud also the Kamina Rabbi Chanina. Now Rabbi Chanina was in his best, and somebody came and presented a Yerach that was Nizbashel Begida to Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina, we had cases before similar to this where Talmidim would sit at the gateway and try to find out what the Psak was and so on, and especially if you didn't hold of certain things, you know. So he would sit, he was sitting on the gate, and when the guy comes out, so he says to Zemai Omer, well, what did he ask him? He says, I'm like, Shayan, he says, it's kosher. What? He said, it's kosher. That's an old Parish Mishnah. Must have made a mistake. Go back in and ask him again. So, oh, the island of Kameh. Go in and ask him again. Comes Rav Chanina. He says, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. My Heidekam, it's silently. Who's the jerk at the door that's making me trouble? Zilemele Laman the Yosef, but tell whoever sent you back in over here. Ain't making him an ancient Tom. There's no problem over here. There's nothing to discuss. In fact, Yosef Makami, the Rebbe Ami, when Rebbe Ami would have a shiva like this, he would never pass him. Instead, he would send them to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chalub to Paskin, because Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chalub had a Kabbalah from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that ain't beginning with Eisen Tam, and therefore he would Paskin that it was kosher. But Rabbi Ami didn't hold to that, so he didn't want, but he wanted to screw up the guy's whole Yerach, so he wouldn't Paskin for him. Since Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that it's mutter, go ask Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chalub for a psak. I don't want to tell you what I hold about it. But Leilo Sfirah, the Yochasan, the Gemara Paskins, ain't beginning in Eisen Tam. Lamais, you don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter whether you cooked it up in water, or whether you salted it, or whether you broiled it. All you have to do is take out the gid, and you can eat the rest. Huh? But we get into a Maslokas Rashi and Taisvus. What about the Shuman of the Gid? The Shuman of the Gid has Tom. The Shuman of the Gid is Usher. According to Rashi, you have to analyze Nice and Tom, yeah? You have to analyze the Nice and Tom of the Shuman. But as Tysus had said earlier, we're never more machmer on the Shuman than we are on the Gid itself. So if the Gid is an Usher here and it's Taruvas, neither is the Shuman.
Wow, that's for a different reason.
Even though it's for a different reason? Because that's otherwise he says the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Why didn't the Mishnah say, we mentioned this in the Mishnah, why didn't the Mishnah say that if you have enough in it and it's Shuman? Furthermore, I mean, maybe the Mishnah's talking about the Shuman, how you bring it right in, make it in the Nation Time, Mishnah says, well, okay, Aitana. Maybe the Mishnah is referring to the Nation of the Nation Time meaning of the Shuman. Fine. Exciting. Wonderful. There you go.